The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of K4 Wins, the radio show. We don't call these podcasts. My dad used to always say when I was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's not a shift, it's a show. He said, you know, go in there and entertain no matter where you're working, whether you're working Kentucky Fried Chicken, a movie theater, or on the radio. It's not a shift. It's a show. So we don't ever say have a good shift. We say have a good show. So we talk about fun. So everything's a show around here. We're entertainment. I'm Tony Curry. Been doing radio for 50 years. Kai Gregory's been on all kinds of great handicapping adventures of his own in the last 30, 35 years. Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, now owned by, of course, the Sportsbook Indians. And he does fantastic work. He's been in the horse racing, handicapping games forever, big hockey guy. And, of course, his son, Case Kiefer, is the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. He'll not be joining us today because he's at the Las Vegas Raiders practice, which is great. So we have a guy on the inside. I know that Kai, you and Case were kind of going back and forth last night. I did have to chuckle. We're talking preseason NFL action here. When you're actually talking about trying to make money in the NFL in preseason, we always talk about you must be pretty hard up if you have to. If you're betting on the game in Canton, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not if you can make some money on it. I primarily just take underdogs all the time. But you were looking at that Seattle-Vegas game and asking Case, hey, do you have any inside information? Of course, obviously, Pete Carroll playing a team that he used to coach. Some people say that he loves to win preseason games. I know you're not talking about putting big-time money on a game where the line is only three because it really doesn't matter what Pete Carroll likes to do in the preseason. It's his players. They're going to put the W or the L up, right?
Well, I mean, and it's on a key number now at three, and it's circled, so you can't buy it either way, you know, as of right now looking at it. But, you know, Pete Carroll, I think, does a great job in the preseason. He is good at winning games that don't matter. Then you get him in a situation, you know, that where it does matter, and instead of running one of the best running backs in the NFL up the middle on first and goal from the one, you throw the ball, get it intercepted, and lose the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do think as a bettor, we're always looking for storylines. And we look for trends and we're like, oh, this is a revenge game. They got blown out last year. The quarterback was traded by this team. And we try to throw all these emotions into things. And Pete Carroll used to be at Seattle. Now he's not. And he's just going to, it doesn't matter if he gets an 0-17. He wants to win this preseason game against the Seattle Seahawks where he got a bad day. And I, you know, that may be true. We talk about bulletin board information or fodder. That may be true for a point. You can stick that up for a while, but once the whistle blows, the guys don't give a shit. I mean, they're out there playing football. They're getting after it, and they're trying to keep themselves a spot on the roster. So I think that's the most important thing. So we'll see what happens. But I think everyone's going to be watching that game, and for a preseason game, pretty enthralling to have, obviously, Pete Carroll going against his old
and
team.
And Geno Smith, the Seattle quarterback, will be at the controls for the Raiders now, so that's interesting. But keep in mind, you're going to be watching a bunch of guys on the field that in 2 weeks are going to be working in Enterprise rent-a-car. So
true.
Probably a good idea not to get too carried away in the preseason.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because, and I've seen this and I've heard this, if you're going to go ahead and bet on some bottom dwellers, you want to do it in preseason ball because those are the guys that are scratching for their lives, right? I mean, the teams that pretty much have a lot of people, I mean, like Kansas City Chiefs aren't going to be playing anybody until week three, period. They're only playing three preseason games. They're not going to be playing anybody in maybe a quarter or two because they're not going to get banged up before the season starts. They know what they've got. They know what they got coming back. But for teams like the Patriots, where half the roster is gone, teams like the Raiders, who still can't find themselves, teams like the Browns, you may see some scrappy little individual plays going on. And listen, if you can make some money in preseason football betting on teams like that, go for it. Go do your thing. Top 25 preseason came out. We're going to go through that. Also, underrated, overrated teams on that. There's 9 SEC teams in the top 25, including the number 1 overall team. We'll talk about some NFL preseason games that get started in earnest this weekend, and Major League Baseball continues here. We have, of course, Toronto, Detroit, Houston, the Phillies, Brewers, and Dodgers leading their divisions. The Red Sox, Mariners, Yankees, Cubs, Mets, and Padres all have that wild card. My Cincinnati Reds sitting 3 games out, by the way, right now. And by the way, my son was giving me the guilty act. He loves watching live sports almost as much as Kip Kiefer does. He really does. I mean, he will go watch any live sport. It could be WNBA, it could be hockey, it could be college baseball, anything. He loves watching live sports. And so he had me this close to driving 6.5 hours to Bristol, Tennessee for the Speedway Classic. And first of all, I was like sitting on fumes money-wise. I said, honey, I said, I'd love to. And I said, got his brother and his sister, and neither one of them aren't really big baseball fans. I said, it's a 6-hour drive. And then he said, yeah, but this is a history, and we're going to be seeing that. He had me this close to going. I almost had the car, and I thought, no, you know what? We're going to watch it on television. And, man, what a horrible evening it was for everyone who had to sit through hours and hours of rain. Then they play like a half an inning, and the field was just torched. I know they did everything they possibly could. I don't know why or how they started that baseball in the first place. And then, of course, they came back. We actually posted the over in that game, and it came up under. Well, of course, a lot of people didn't have the bet in the next day. You have to replace your bet if it doesn't go up. But the Atlanta Braves at least get a victory in Tennessee, the first Major League Baseball game, Kip, played in the great state of Tennessee. The Atlanta Braves are now 1-0.
It was the spectacle. You know, it's too bad it got mired by bad weather. It really kind of took the shine off it.
Yeah, it sure did. Coastal Sports Digital Network, we're now on, along with Tony Curry Radio, the TKR Network. Get that TKR app. You can hear us 24 hours a day. If you listen to Tony Curry Radio, we have 18 different shows. They start basically at 7 o'clock in the morning. They go all the way through 7 o'clock at night, classic rock the rest of the time. And you can hear this show. It airs numerous times. And, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast, we also have, of course, the K4 Wins podcast channel. That is the YouTube channel where you can check us out at K4 Winners on X. And wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available in every major indice out there. Preseason top 25. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, 5th, Clemson, 6th, Oregon, Alabama, 8th, LSU, Miami, 10th, Arizona State, 11th, Illinois, 12th, South Carolina, 13th, Michigan, 14th, Ole Miss, 15th, SMU, 16th, Florida, 17th, Tennessee, 18th, Indiana, 19th, K-State rounds the top 20, then A&M, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech, and Boise State. Kip, I'm going to start with you right off the bat. You just mentioned right before we started the show, pretty chalk there for the coaches. Nothing really, you know, this is not a Tim Brando thing. This is not us taking South Carolina or Boise State to be making the playoffs, but this is the coaches' poll. In most cases, the SIDs are making the vote anyway.
Well, very interesting. Not very many seasons you have number one against number two in a major poll playing the first weekend, but that's what we've got this time. So sure. I don't know if the top two are going to stay the same, or maybe people are just so Ohio State and Texas big brand oriented, it doesn't matter who wins or loses that game. I guess if Ohio State wins, they would take the one spot. But I wonder if Ohio State loses to Texas, if they drop at all, maybe one spot or something, we'll have to wait and see. As far as the rest of the poll, like I said before, I just think it was pretty much a mail-it-in kind of deal. Preseason polls, you really don't have much data to go by. College football, even more than in yesteryear, when you always had some roster turnover. Now you've got complete roster turnover in a lot of cases. So until you see these teams on the field, really making a accurate prognostication of the top teams is just kind of a joke. I'll just say what it is, because you really don't have much to go by. And that's how I think that's why a lot of the blue blood programs get listed no matter what. I don't think there's any justification for Michigan coming off the season they had last year to be in the top 25. Indiana played the worst schedule of all time and have another similar weak schedule this year, but I don't see that team being legitimate from a year ago, and I sure don't see them being the 16th best team going into the season. And in the top 10, my only interjection about those are, I think Notre Dame's first game at Miami with a quarterback that's got absolutely no experience playing on the road against a team for Miami that was talented last year but obviously had defensive deficits. But that's really not the the focal point when you've got a quarterback that's really playing for the first time. Miami – defense was bad last year, but I people say Notre Dame's defense is going to be so awesome. I wasn't that impressed with the Notre Dame team last year. This is a team that lost to Northern Illinois and skated by barely in a lot of their games. I just don't know if they're legitimate. And then they go back and play Texas A&M, who I think is a little bit of a sleeping giant in the SEC with all kinds of depth and an experienced quarterback in Marcel Reed coming back. I'm not going to be shocked, guys, and this might be my hot take of the preseason. I'm not going to be shocked if Notre Dame has an 0-2 mark after week two.
That would mean they would lose as many games in the first 2 weeks they lost all last year.
Yes.
Obviously going 14-2. I don't see that happening. And I do think we can start finally saying, hey, Coach Freeman is a really good coach, and I think he's going to do really well. He's going to be a perennial top 10 every single year because he can recruit. And I think Notre Dame is back. And I'm not just saying that because I'm Catholic. I do think they're going to be really good. Miami hasn't been there for so long. It just feels like, I mean, this is not the FSU Miami days that we used to watch. They used to play each other early, and whoever won that game had the inside track to the national title. There are a couple things. Before I get into some of my thoughts, we're going to be going through some win totals, some over-unders coming up here with Kai Gregory. What stuck out to you here in that top 25, Kai?
Well, my first thing I got to say is I 1,000% disagree with Kip.
Well, that's not unusual. So
no,
Notre Dame is going to come in and pound the rock with two of the best running backs around. Their defense is good. Marcus Freeman, I do believe. I totally agree. And I'm just never going to rest laurels and appreciate fact. I just don't think he's the quarterback for Miami. He's not Cam Ward. Cam Ward, we talked about it Friday. How many plays did this guy make with his feet? And now, of course, the Titans are expecting him to do the same since Will Levis is hurt. Let me get some coffee and put some mayonnaise in it. There's a lot in the top 25, and I'll tell you what, we talked about it a little bit before we came on, is that the coaches have their poll. Brando has his poll, but then Vegas is Vegas for a reason. And some of these in the top 10 and the way they make their money. I mean, we talked about, Clemson, we talked about Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame's over-under is 10.5, but it's plus 15. So, I mean, just like Ohio State's 10.5 plus 20 to the over. So, I mean, Vegas has it slotted for the under on both of those teams. But then you've got Clemson at 9.5, and they're minus 230, what you have to post and add.
Well, and listen, you and we'll get into this deeper, too. You obviously know what you're talking about here. We know why it's minus 230, because it's going to go over 9.5. Clemson's going to win the national championship. They're number 6 right now in the country, and some people are saying they're underrated. They've got everything coming back. Dabo Swinney knows what the hell he's doing. He's won a couple of national championships. I don't have any doubt they're going to be in the mix. I think that first game against LSU, I hope he absolutely bludgeons Brian Kelly to the extent where Brian Kelly never wants to coach a college football game again. I'm still over Brian Kelly. I used to love him when he was a Bearcat, and he seemed like he was not passive aggressive, but he was just kind of a laid back kind of dude, not even narcissistic to the point now where he thinks just because he's at LSU, they're going to win championships. He's got a coach, and he can't be putting all the blame on his football team year in and year out and become a great coach. So I really like Clemson in that particular case. I do think Texas is kind of sitting at that one catbird spot. I'm not saying they're the number one team, but I think they're getting there just because Ohio State lost everything. They lost 17 players in the NFL draft. They also lost their entire defensive side. I'm going to be really interested to see what Ryan Day does with his defense from Ohio State. Penn State sitting there number 3. It seems like Penn State's number 3 every year. Is this Franklin's year? Should Franklin be winning national titles? Yes, he got hired to be that way. It seems like he's been on the outside of that looking in. Georgia's obviously number 4. We met Notre Dame, Clemson. That's going to be a huge game against LSU, Oregon. Alabama, I know Bama fans are freaking out. Legends freaking out. Doesn't need to, but Alabama's going to preseason number 10 every year. Unless they go back and try to bring Mike Price back or something like that, then there's no reason why Alabama shouldn't be in the top 10 every single year. The fact they're preseason number 8 should tell you we got problems in Houston, folks. They lost 4 games the first time in 17 years. This is not your Nick Saban Alabama squad, and there's a reason why it turned over that quick. You don't ever want to fill those kind of shoes in. It's going to be cut for Kalen DeBoer again. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see them lose 3 games, and that's too many. 7 games in 2 years would be entirely difficult. Miami, I hope they're back because I think college football is better for it. Arizona State came out of nowhere last year. I think they're overrated at number 11. I think they won a lot of games, super close games. I think it was a great story. The Fighting Illini have got 17 guys coming back from a team, of course, that went 10-3 last year. There's no reason to think that they couldn't probably be that Big Ten observant that's going to be in there. I mentioned South Carolina. The only poll out there, South Carolina's in the top 15. I've got them going to the playoffs, so we'll see what happens. I totally agree with you on Michigan because I think Michigan, they have the 127th worst offense last year. They did not go out and recruit as many offensive guys as they need, particularly on the line. And then you mentioned A&M. A&M is that team that could screw people over. They could be just an absolute spoiler every single year. But every single year, they sit there about 16, 17. They remind me of the Auburn Tigers about 10 or 15 years ago. Everyone's expecting them to do great because they have all the facilities, they have all the players, they have everything they need to be championship-wise, and for some reason, they just don't pull through. They'll win their 9 or 10 games, and it's just not enough for A&M fans, so we'll see what happens. But I do want to get back to some of your win totals because, and we threw this question at Case, and you can absorb this a little bit and be exorbitant on it. Why, Kai, and I know you know the answer to this, why would it be 9.5 minus 230, and why wouldn't it just be 10 minus, say, $1.35 or $1.40? Why do the juice loads work that way in Las Vegas?
Well, clearly they're trying to push the opposite, and they want people to bet so that they get enough. If enough people take Clemson minus that 230, and then you got the other side plus 165, you know, a lot of people take the plus. Obviously, win totals, you want to do that and go on that under. But it's just trying to get money even. Because what people don't grasp is Vegas was not made rich by all these people just losing, losing, losing. Just like a bookie, you don't want 100 players that lose every week. Because then about halfway through the season, you're going to have 20 players left that can pay. You want 100 players, 50 on one side, 50 on the other side. You just collect the juice and take care of that. And Vegas is the same way, and that's the way it was built. You know, getting into your top 10 that you talked about, you know, one of the things we said is you wanted to look at teams that could be in, could be out. But, I mean, this pains me. But looking at Alabama's schedule, how do you get them anywhere different than over? I mean, they open at Florida State, and I get that. But Alabama's a 12-point favorite. Opened at 13.5. It's come down a point and a half.
They're going to win that game. I think FSU gets within 12 just because I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be coaching stupid. But they'll win by 7-10. Let's go through the schedule because I think this is really interesting. Go ahead.
Well, I've already played it. I played Alabama minus 12. Man, I love it. I think Alabama wins by 17 plus. And it might get out of hand by halftime.
You may be right, and I think that FSU, for those folks that just played FSU from weeks 3 through 9 last year and went 0-6 against the spread, that's what happens to you. Because you know what? You don't need to be betting on games just because you're looking at a team on paper. Just because they went 13-0 the year before doesn't mean they can't go 1-12 the year after. Absolutely. So go ahead. You're spot on. Go ahead.
They open with Florida State, so we agree that's one win. I know Kip just bounced off, but then they got, you know, Louisiana Monroe. And this is not 2009 when Louisiana Monroe comes in and beats them, or 2006, I'm sorry.
2007, yeah.
Beat them first year saving.
That's a win, too.
Yeah, then they host Wisconsin, 3-0. Okay.
Is that at Wisconsin or hosting Wisconsin?
No, it's at Alabama.
It's at Alabama, okay.
Yeah, I don't think Wisconsin's going to be what a lot of people think, even though I do.
They're not in the top 25. They're not in the top 25. So their
win total's 6.5. So then they go to Georgia, and let's say a toss up. Let's say Georgia wins because it's at Georgia. Although I don't necessarily think that right now. Let's just say that. So you're still 3-1. Then the next week they host Vandy, and Diego Pavia is probably going to get his head rammed up his ass for all the shit he's been talking in that game.
Particularly after last year, if you want to sit there and talk about, you know, when you talk about, you know, getting back in that team, absolutely, they're going to put the medal down the floor. Go ahead, continue.
4-1 going to Missouri. I don't respect the Missouri program or Drinkwitz at all.
I never have.
So 5-1. The next week they host Tennessee. Tennessee doesn't win in Alabama. I think Tennessee, even though everything I've heard this fall already about their quarterbacks in the first 3 or 4 days and how well they're doing. And it's actually up in the air between all three quarterbacks right now as to who's starting.
What do you think the line will be on that game? And I think if that game's at Tennessee, I think Tennessee's got a shot. I know, but if it was at Tennessee, I'd say they got a shot. I'd say Tennessee's got a shot. What do you think it's going to be? Bama 4?
It'll be double digits.
It will be double digits, okay?
Yeah, because Tennessee's going to be coming off. I think they'll be coming off a loss to Georgia in one other game. So, you know, just going from there. So then, you know, and this is one of the games that everybody and their mother is going to be on one side and I'm going to be on the other. I don't care what the line is. Alabama goes to South Carolina the week after they play Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I just know tons of people are going to be all over South Carolina. No, I don't care what anybody thinks. Everybody is overlooking the fact that South Carolina, they lost a ton on defense. And you know, I don't think anything of their coach either. I liked his dad, but I think Beamer sucks. So yeah, I'm still going to say
I like Lenoris. I like their quarterback play. I think offensively they're going to have something to say about that. They won 9 games last year, and I've been through the stat, the fact that the only 3 times in their history have they won 8 games or more and actually got better the year after. And that's even with Steve Spurrier and some of the great coaches. It would be amazing for them to go more than that, but you only have to win 10 or 11 games in the SEC in order to make the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. But I totally agree with you. I think that's going to be one of the sexy plays, assuming South Carolina holds their jocks the first 5 or 6 weeks of the year and ends up winning football games they're supposed to win. If they go in that thing undefeated or one loss, that's going to be one of those games where it's going to be like a 6 or 7 point game and everyone's going to go, oh, so that's going to be a smelly fish and Alabama's going to probably win that game. So I'll give you that.
Well, South Carolina's got an easy schedule. Yet think about it. They're over under 7.5 and it's a pick 'em either way.
Yep,
they're ranked number 13 and their over under is only 7.5. All right. Yep. So, but Alabama, you get Missouri, then Tennessee, then South Carolina. Then you get a week off, then you host LSU. Again, we both agree Brian Kelly sucks. And so I give Alabama that game. And then the next week they host Oklahoma, who I do think is going to be one of the better and most improved teams in the SEC. Their over-under is at 6.5, but it's minus 210. But if you take it up to 7.5, you can get it minus 140. And I still think they get there.
They barely received any votes in the top 25, which it's still
Oklahoma. I've got the Oklahoma schedule pulled out, too, to talk to you about, because I have them as one of the teams that jumps into the top 25.
Love to hear
it. But I think Alabama beats them. So then the next week, Alabama has Eastern Illinois.
Well,
I think they're probably going to win that. And then they go to Auburn. Even though I think this is probably the most talented Auburn roster in about 20 years, I don't think they're going to have the talent to beat Alabama, but it is. It's Jordan Hare. Weird things happen.
That would be Hugh Freeze's swan song. That'll be his last game. And I get this feeling that Auburn could win that football game and he'll still lose his job.
We just went through 11 wins for Alabama. Yeah.
So what's their over-under? 9.5?
9.5 minus 30. I absolutely love it. We've already, and the reason why I talk about it is we've already posted that to our subscribers and said to take that over. You know, we've got 7 or 8 totals in college football and 3 so far in the NFL that we've already given out. And I think it's pretty good. We've got some others to talk about. And I'm just going to see which way you want to make the conversation go.
No, I love it. Let's go Oklahoma. We love SEC football around here because it's number one king. It's just, it is what it is. And you can make the most money in the world betting on the SEC if you know what the hell you're doing. That's what we do around here at K4 Wins big time. Oklahoma schedule, obviously, they just were – I just remember week in and week out, Kip just absolutely hated Oklahoma. They got better towards the end of the season. They're not in the top 25 right now, but it's still Oklahoma. They have not held up their end of the bargain coming to the Big 12. Go through their schedule real quick.
Well, and everybody's got to understand they've got a brand-new quarterback. They've got their receiving quarterback that they were missing all year last year. And the offensive coordinator came with the quarterback, which is – Mateer is going to be – could be one of the absolute biggest off-season acquisitions for them. They open up with a breeze with Illinois State. I think Oklahoma shows their Oklahoma in that and probably wins that game like 50-0. Mm-hmm. But then they come back the next week and they play Michigan. It's at Oklahoma. I still am going to, and I know Michigan's going to be favored. I'm still going to have Oklahoma in that game. I think Oklahoma wins that game. You know, a lot of people disagree with me. That's just my opinion. I think Oklahoma.
I totally agree with you, and I'm telling you, I think the Harbaugh hangover is going to last like another 2 or 3 years for Michigan. I really do. I think he was that important to that program. He's weird dude. He likes to eat milk with a steak. I get it. He's a strange guy with his khaki pants. I think he's going to do great in the National Football League like he did with San Francisco. But I think for some reason, I feel like there's this Harbaugh hangover going in Michigan right now. And I think it was a great story for bringing in a guy that was already on the staff to be the coach, and he's crying on the sidelines and all the shit. I don't think he needs to be the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. And that you can't be in the Big Ten to be Michigan to be 129th in total offense in college football. You can't. I don't care who you are. You can't recruit that badly and be 130th in college football. You can't do it. So I agree with you. I think Oklahoma gets that game. What's the next one?
All right, then the next week they go to Temple. I still think Oklahoma wins that game.
Sure.
Temple's not going to have much. The next week they host Auburn. Again, talented Auburn squad, yada, yada, yada. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Brent Venables is a great coach either, but Hugh Freeze just has not had it since he beat Alabama at Ole Miss, you know, 800 years ago.
And Hugh Freeze, by the way, Hugh Freeze, for people that don't know, I mean, this is his third year, Hugh Freeze will have an opportunity to save his own ass this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some gifts. To beat an Oklahoma would be huge for the Auburn Tigers. For Alabama, not so much. But for the Auburn Tigers, that would be a huge win for Brent Venables. Go ahead.
I mean, it might be a big win for Alabama. They lost to Oklahoma last year and got embarrassed 24-3. So, I mean, so then Oklahoma hosts, Oklahoma has a week off because they got to get ready for powerful Kent State.
Yes.
So they.
Nick Saban will be in the game. Yeah.
They could very easily start off 3-2 or 5-0.
Yeah.
So
about the Auburn Tigers last year, and they started 2-3.
Yeah. Then they got Texas. I've got Texas is winning that game, but it's a Red River rivalry. You know, who knows what's going to happen. The next week they go to South Carolina. And I think that's big. Now, if they lose to Texas, I think they beat South Carolina. If they beat Texas, they probably lose to South Carolina. Just my opinion. You know, I know people don't, you know, man, but I
love your philosophical beings of, I know exactly, because some people are like, what the hell are you talking about? They lose, they say you're going to win, and if they win, they say you're going to lose. Yeah, that's how it plays out. Sometimes you go back and forth. Continue.
I mean, but it's a brutal schedule now from here to go Texas, South Carolina, then they host Ole Miss, then they go to Tennessee. Then they have a week off and go to Alabama.
Tough, tough stretch.
Then they host Missouri, and then they host LSU.
If they stay healthy enough during that three-game stretch, they can knock off Missouri and maybe an LSU, who, by the way, is probably going to be depleted. They'll have four losses already. They'll be throwing it in. Brian Kelly be wasting his football team, saying they're not listening to what I tell them to do, and that's why we're not going to be in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. He does that every single year. But – if they go through that stretch of Ole Miss and Alabama, and what was the other one? Ole Miss, Alabama, and
Ole Miss. I mean, so it's
in Missouri.
They go Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, LSU.
If they go through that, they can still relatively healthy. They can maybe go 2-0 or 1-1 those last two games, and I think that's where it puts it. And what's their over under? 7.5.
6.5, but it's 6.5 minus 210. You buy it up, you get it at 7.5 minus 140, 135, depending.
Can you buy it up on a total?
Yeah, you can. Depending on the site, depending on where you go. In Vegas, no, but other things. But you know, we looking at that. Let's look at somebody outside the SEC. So like,
no, let's do that. And while you're looking, this is really good. While you're looking, I love heavy juice. I love it. I like watching. You know, I do. I love watching Major League Baseball games where I see an over-under of 2.5 team runs and it's minus 165 because they're begging you to take the other side, and normally when they're begging you to take the other side, it goes. With that being said, I took my Cincinnati Reds run total over last year, minus 175, and they didn't come close. They laid an egg, they didn't do squat. This year they're going to get it. They're going to get there. But I do like those high juice because I do think there's some value there, because if you're going over on a team, it doesn't matter what the juice is. Like Kay says, I don't care if it's minus 300. If I like the play, I'm going to play it. But give me a couple teams outside the SEC and then give us some good juice games.
All right.
I'll be honest with you. There ain't nothing worse than putting $500 on something and losing $850.
Well, I mean, looking at a team like Louisville, who's not in the top 10 or top 25, but their over-under is 8.5 wins minus 45, okay? And you've got teams – so the teams that are ahead of them in this, some of them are 7.5 win totals plus money. Yet Louisville's outside the top 25. They're
and by the way, real quick, is this regular season games or is this include playoffs?
Regular season.
Just that, regular season.
Okay. That's it. The championships don't count. But I mean, so Louisville opens with Eastern Kentucky.
When?
Okay. Then they have James Madison.
When?
Who graduated everybody.
Better.
Oh, then they have Bowling Green.
That should be a win.
Yeah.
Interesting interstate game, though, and a great Corvette Museum there.
Yeah, but I mean, so you're sitting on 8.5 totals, and you started 3-0 with 9 games left. Now, then they go to Pitt.
That's going to be tough.
I really like Louisville and what they're doing. I think they win that game to go 4-0.
Then, it'll be favored by the game. Virginia.
I think they start 5-0.
I'd agree. At worst, 4-1. Yeah.
Okay. But then they go to Miami. And I do think that they're probably going to drop that game, but they could win. And if Carson Beck is all Carson Beck, then they might win easily. Then the next week they got Boston College at home. So worst case in my book, we got them at 5-1. Then they play Virginia Tech. I just don't think that much of Virginia Tech this year. So I think they're 6-1. Then they got Cal. I really don't think anything of them.
Yeah.
So 7-1. And then your last three games are Clemson, SMU, Kentucky. So, yeah, it might come down to the Clemson, SMU, and Kentucky. But I really think even though it's at SMU, I like Louisville better than SMU. And I think they beat SMU and then they beat Kentucky and get to 9 wins.
Yeah, that would be kind of good because I know how high we are in Kentucky around here. it'd be really funny if Kai Gregory had the over on that and somehow Stoops ended up getting that victory at the end of the year to lay out the Louisville Cardinals. No, I agree, but you know, when you're looking for tiebreakers and for reasons to go maybe take an over or two, you got to go up to the coaching thing. And one of those guys, Coach Brohm, of course, a friend of mine that actually coached at UAB, and they would have loved to have him more than a season. He was fantastic. He changed so many things for the UAB program under Bill Clark. We knew that he wasn't going to be an assistant coach any longer. But I mean, you know, Kip's got him as one of his top three coaches, period. He thinks he's that good. And I think he's a great fit at Louisville, and I think he'll do really well there. What are some other teams, since you're looking at some heavy juice, are there any other big juice games? I I'm just drawn to big juice games because I know if I'm taking heavy juice, I know the over-under is lower than it probably should be because they're trying to get me to go that way, and those are games I'm drawn to. Could you lose big-time money? Yeah, but it's also a yearly thing. I don't mind giving up $1.70, $1.80 in juice when I've got an entire year to generate the funds to pay it back at the end. You know what I'm saying? Well, it feels pretty good because, I mean, you can have a loss, and the only time you're out is when obviously there's no games left. So,
well, hell, just a Major League Baseball game we could throw out today with heavy juice. Boston minus 240. But, I mean, they've won 6 in a row. They've won, I think, 16 out of 20. They're playing in Kansas City, and Garrett's pitching. So I really like that. I even take a minus 1.5. Clemson is over-under 9.5, minus 230. Boise State is.
By the way, that Clemson is just. If it was 10, I'd leave it alone. But I think it's. They're going 10 or 11, and I think that Clemson is in such a great spot. I'm not just saying that because my son goes to school there. Maybe I am. My boys talking just absolutely heat up my ass every single week talking about, you know, we're going to the national championship game. I was like, slow it down, big partner. He's like, if the Clemson goes, we're going. I said, I tell you what, if Clemson goes to the national championship, we'll go to the game. I said, but just slow down a little bit. But man, Dabo set this season up. It's almost like 3 years ago, like he saw the season coming. He knew that Klubnik wasn't going to be going to the National Football League. He should be in the top five or top six for Heisman Trophy winner. He had 36 touchdowns and only 6 picks last year. He should be a hell of a lot better. What I'm afraid of is he's going to come out and for some reason he's going to get injured early, or he's going to start throwing those damn floaters that he's notorious for doing early in football seasons before he starts taking some air out of the football. And again, they're not going to have any time to figure it out. But they can lose to LSU in that first week and still play for a national championship.
Well, Georgia Tech. I was jumping ahead of myself. Clemson returns the most production of anybody in the country at 80%, and they actually picked up some people in the portal. And I do believe that their defensive front is going to be even better than this year. And Klubnik, I know a lot of people don't like him, but he just doesn't seem to make the big mistake. He might make some mistakes, but his mistakes are usually against a crappy team that Clemson still pulls it out. but it's against crappy teams where they're a 30-point favorite. And they only
watch this. And we mentioned it's his name. It's Klubnik. It's not a cool name. It's a terrible name. It's a boring name. It's a weird name. It's a Russian name. I don't even know what Klubnik is. It's not a football name. And people are like, Klubnik, you can't be Klubnik and win a national title. But I'm telling you something. Sometime during this football season, because we've seen it the last 3 years, sometime during this football season, there's going to be a 3rd and 17, a make or break moment, and Klubnik's going to get that first down with his feet. No one's been slower than John Elway. He's a slow white Bronco, but you watch Klubnik. You watch. He can run. He can actually run for his life. He can run for his life, and he'll run for his life a couple times. He'll get some big plays with his feet. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Dabo actually put in some run first options for him, just because no one thinks he can run very, very fast. He's very deceptive as a white boy.
I'll give you another slow Bronco that I think was slower than Elway, and that was my beloved Peyton Manning. I think we saw Peyton do like 3 bootlegs in his entire career, NFL and college.
Maybe three, yes.
Yeah, my sleeper that I really like, and it's high juice to take the over 7.5, but we've already put that out there, the over 7.5 with Georgia Tech.
And explain for people out there that are really into Georgia Tech and haven't done their homework yet, why?
Good defense, incredible coach, as well as you've got the stud Haynes King back. At quarterback, 2 stud running backs. They've got some transfers that have come in. I think Georgia Tech is going to be a lot better than people think. They open at Colorado. They're a 4-point favorite. Vegas is not stupid. They do that for a reason. If I could get 3, I love it. The money line's right around 190. If I could get that in a money line parlay, maybe with somebody else early in the season, even if sprinkle a money line parlay that week 1 with Alabama, I think it'd be just a great play with Georgia Tech, because I think Colorado is all prime time, just heat. And you know, now that he's come out with cancer and everything, everybody's just hoping and pumping.
The rub is off Deion. It's done. It's finished. I mean, if he wasn't going to take the Dallas job, then it's going to be fun to watch. They may go to a bowl game this year, but yeah, Colorado's still Colorado.
So I got at Colorado 1-0. Then they play Gardner-Webb. Yeah, 2-0. They go to Clemson. Well, I don't think Clemson's losing this year, so I've got Clemson winning that game. But I think, or it's at home for Georgia Tech. I think it's going to be closer than people think. Clemson's going to be a 12, 14-point favorite in that game on the road, and Georgia Tech's going to stay inside the number, in my opinion. So 2-1. Then they got Temple. I already told you what I thought of Temple earlier. 3-1. Then they go to Wake Forest. Don't care. Don't think anything of Wake Forest. Just me. 4-1. Then they play Virginia Tech. 5-1. At Duke.
Is that at Virginia Tech? At Blacksburg?
No, it's at home.
Okay. It's at home. Okay, good. So,
then they go to Duke. Then they play what would be a very difficult game if it was at home or if it was on the road, but it's at home against Syracuse. And I told you, I'm high on Syracuse, but they just don't have a great schedule. So then they go to NC State, which, you know, as a Tennessee fan, thank God Dave Doran didn't come. Then they go to Boston College. Then they finish with Pitt and Georgia. And I think they're at 10 wins before they play Georgia. I'm just high on this Georgia Tech team as far as, I mean, but their total 7.5, and I'm telling you, I see 10 wins. So you got 2 games to play with there.
Yeah.
And it's a bet that I've already placed and just love that as far as the way that goes. And the reason why I talk about that is because of the next team that I wanted to talk about. I hate that Kip's not here and got bumped off, because I know how high he is on these guys, and I'm totally the other way. The Miami Hurricanes, you know, their win total is 8.5. They're ranked 10th, and their juice is -70.
What is that? And it's right where it needs to be. If it was -10, -20, it's right where it needs to be, because that over under should be a little higher than that. You're spot on.
Well, I think Notre Dame drills Miami week 1. I really do.
I think they lull them to sleep. And I think everyone's, if you go back and look at Miami schedules in the past, whenever they're supposed to be really good, they lay eggs early in the season. They just do. They don't play well early in the season. Notre Dame's been there, done that. They're still fucking hungry. They want to get after it. And Coach Free, I mean, I'm telling you, he's making the difference in Notre Dame. He will die a Notre Dame coach. He will be there for as long as he wants to be, but he has a great temperament with that program. They will win a national title under him at maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, but he keeps – no one gets too high or too low with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, whereas you put all the chains and crap all you want. I totally agree with you. I think they lull them to sleep. I think they run the ball like 60 times in a game.
unless Ryan Day gets fired and Freeman takes the Ohio State job. So, I mean, that could happen. But, I mean, I agree. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I'm a Marcus Freeman fan. He's a great coach. I think he's done a lot of very good things there. He's recruited really well. And I think he's one of those genuine guys that if he comes into your house as a parent and he's talking to your kid, you believe what he says, that he's got some integrity, unlike, you know, some other coaches, let's just say, who may or may not used to have been at Notre Dame and are now at LSU. Mm-hmm. So I have Miami losing the first game to Notre Dame, even though it's at home. Then they have the big powerhouse of Bethune-Cookman. Mm-hmm. So I'll give them that win. And then South Florida at home. So give them that. But how about for Miami? Their first four games are at home.
Yeah.
So their fourth game is going to be a big telltale game because it's Florida. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are really high on Florida. You know, they're preseason number 17. But again, their total is 7.5. And some people have them higher than 17, but preseason 17, over under 7.5. And if you're not paying attention to their camps, Lagway sat out the entire spring with a hurt shoulder, and now he's got a bum leg moving around in the
boot. Yeah, he's been banged up. And I, you know, and again, I'm looking at a lot of coaches too. Napier, I'll never forget it. We had Tim Brando on our show 3 years ago. And we asked what protege or what former coach on Nick Saban's staff will win a national title first. And this is before Kirby Smart actually won his. So it was longer before that. And he said Napier at Florida will win a national title first. That's how high he was on him. He's also in a situation. Was this his fourth year? He's also in a situation now where, like, we've stuck with him too long. Like, we're with you. Like he's building something there, but it's Florida. You should never have a 7.5 over under at Florida. You shouldn't. I'm sorry. You shouldn't, because you're never supposed to lose at the Swamp in five or six games.
Well, he hitched his wagon to DJ, to Lagway. I mean, he did. And if Lagway goes down, they don't have a lot after that. They got some transfers in. He's had a good recruiting class. Hell, he's stolen some good players from Tennessee. I just don't believe it. But I have Florida beating Miami, actually. And Miami starting out 2-2.
And that's at the Swamp, right? That's their first road game?
No, that's at Florida. I mean, that's at Miami. Miami starts their first four games at home. And I don't love that play, but right now I would. And Miami would be favored by probably a touchdown in that game right now. So it'd be interesting. Then they go to Florida State. I don't think anything of Florida State. So I've got Miami winning that game. And remember the good old days when Miami and Florida State was big and Coach Ryder hook it left and it mattered.
First game of the year. Yeah. And if you lost that game, you were done. And if you won that game, you were going to win the national title. Absolutely. It was huge.
So I got them there at 3-2, but I could see 4-1 and I could see 2-3. Then they play Louisville. And even though it's back at home, I've got them with the gauntlet of Florida State, Louisville. I think they lose to Louisville. But I'm high on Louisville. Keep that in mind. Then they're going to play Stanford, and Stanford sucks. Then they go to SMU, and I've got them losing to SMU. A lot of people would disagree, so that could be another way to get back and forth. Then they have Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. And I do have them winning the last four games to get to 8 wins. But, you know, if their win total is 8.5, then if you disagree with me on SMU or Louisville or Notre Dame, then you pick over. But you only have one game to play with, in my opinion, that gets you. And that's the reason why I like to go under, because if I've only got to worry about one or two games for that half, I'm going to go under every time, because I don't think Diaz is a great coach. And I know Miami has shored up their secondary. But I don't think they've shored up their front four and really their front six. Seven, yes, they have one decent linebacker, not the rest. And I think that's why I think Notre Dame may really pound them into oblivion with their running game. And that's what would worry me the most about Miami, getting beat up in that first game and then having Beck trying to throw from behind. Because, again, it's not Cam Ward making plays with his feet and then throwing it down the field when everybody breaks down. It's Carson Beck having to get rid of that ball in 3 or 4 seconds, you know, at the most.
Yeah, at the most. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Go to our site. It's absolutely it's got everything you need. Go there and check out our plays. By the way, we have not checked our numbers from last week. How did we do last week? I know last night I think we were 6-1. The old Bone went 3-3-0, and I think Kip went 3-1 in Major League Baseball last night. We both had our Cincinnati Reds. How'd we look?
Yeah, but y'all crossed each other out on one, and then both had the same. So we were 3-1 last night on posted plays.
Yeah, that. It's just 75%. We'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but last week we were just not good. We were 14-12 last week, which then we still won because we don't give out high juice and do stuff like that. But we were 71-36 last month, 66%. We're now 604, 336-4 year to date, 64%. And I know we hadn't talked about it. We'll get into it in just a second. And a lot of baseball to talk about today. And then since we're live, we can give out some picks and people can go ahead and jump on them.
Yeah, give them out a lot. And I know you've already mentioned the Bo Sox minus a run and a half or giving up the heavy juice. Listen, we are August 23rd is the first round of college football games, the Dublin games coming up here. So we'll be talking just a little over 2 weeks. If you're sitting at home right now, and obviously we'd say to make sure you have a bankroll, you know what you're playing with. You don't ever play more than you can afford to lose, but you're not going to lose with us. But if you're a $100 player, which I think a lot of people out there, your average player is going to play 50, 75, 100 bucks a ball game. If you get out there and you play safe and you just play the games we tell you to play, you're going to probably have a little bankroll of maybe a grand, 1,100, 1,200 bucks. Before the college football season starts, if you just play our games. Now, if you end up going, well, I'm going to play a couple of my games plus your game, that's fine. You do your thing. But if you stick by our numbers, you're hitting 68, 69%. You're going to have a little bit of a bankroll. Then maybe you can have a bad week, or maybe you want to bet on your Auburn Tigers despite the fact you know they suck, but you have to play them every week because you have to put something behind the game so the wife's wondering why you're downstairs watching the game till 3 o'clock in the morning and not making love to your wife. You can do those kind of things and have that cash in your back pocket. So keep that.
Well, I mean, year to date, we're up, even if because again, we don't post, you know, minus 200 games. Otherwise, we could just go post Boston today and sit back and rest on our laurels.
And a lot of people do, by the way. A lot of people do. They cover their own ass. They go like, listen, we normally don't do this, but we're going to post this minus 230 game. And then when it loses, they come back and say, well, we told you that we don't. That's why we normally don't do that. So they cover their own ass. Well, go tell my book that. Go tell my book that, because my book still wants his money on Tuesday. Okay.
I've got friends that buy people's picks and they pay, you know, $250 for a guy's or $500 for a guy's lock of the year. And then they'll say, hey man, do you want part of this? I'm like, no. And then, but then they'll come with somebody that's minus 300, or they'll come with a 10 point favorite and take them on the money line for 30 units. I'm like, so you're going to bet 30 units, whatever that is, at 300 juice. So you're risking 90 units. To win 30,
which for some people is an entire year. That's an entire year. I mean, if you're a $100 guy and you're betting 300 and you're losing 9, that will bust your balls that'll put you out for the season.
That should be 1-2% of your bankroll, you know, period, when you make a bet on stuff. And that's one of the things that we do. We put our plays out there. We'll put 3 or 5, 7 games, just depending Saturday, Sunday, whatever, especially during college football. We post more plays than we do during basketball or during baseball. And you could post 15 games a day in basketball easy. It's very easy. But a lot of people chase, and it gets you in trouble. And a lot of people are going to bet, you know, 10% of their bankroll. But what people don't understand, and hopefully if they're listening, you know, they hear this. If you're not making $250,000 a year, you have no business betting $200 a game, 5 games a day. I mean, you can't afford to lose $1,000 a day.
That's right.
And to gamble, and it's fun. Professional gamblers, they do what they do. But if you're doing it for fun, you've got to be smarter. And if you pay someone for a service, those are the plays that you should play. Don't put your own plays in there. Listen to them. Play those plays. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get up a little bit on a 3-1 day with K4. And then you're going, oh, well, I've got this. I'm great. And so I'm going to take the Yankees tonight, you know, minus 200 at Texas. And what happens? The Yankees give up a home run in the ninth.
You give it all back. Yeah, you're three and two, and you're in a hole. Exactly. You know, it's something you mentioned too, and it's pretty amazing. I've bet everything from $5 a game to I can't even tell you what I've bet on a game out in Vegas. Losses hurt, and wins feel good. It doesn't matter whether you're betting $1,000 a game or $50 a game. I have sat there and had the same emotional, psychological, whatever you want to call it, on a game where I've had $50 on my Reds and I've had $1,000 on my Reds, and it sucks to lose, period. And it's really nice once in a while when you lose some of those games where you only bet 25 or 50 bucks because you actually feel kind of smart. You're like, well, at least I didn't really like it a whole lot, so I laid off. All right, we got to do some Major League Baseball.
Because real quick, yeah. Tony. But if people go and subscribe, we're not like those guys that are charging you $400 a month, $399 a month, $250 for a weekend. I mean, that's one of the things to think about. If you go look at our site to subscribe, we are ridiculously easy to deal with.
It's like $3 a day, right? $3 a day or something like that?
It's $50 for a month of picks. Yeah. $50 for a month. That and you subscribe, we'll email
and
you.
And you're betting 100. And you're betting 100 game. You're betting 100 game. All we're saying is try it, and then we promise you're going to resubscribe.
We've got some site fees, obviously, that we have to pay. So we're charging a little bit, but I mean, it is what it is. We have free plays every day. Our free plays are 120 and 60 this year. Yeah. Again, 66%. So yeah. I mean, and those are up every day, and you can actually go through. It's just in an Excel spreadsheet, and you can see every single game we've played on there. They're all listed.
All right, we got 10 minutes right before or right after we're done with this live show here on the YouTube channel. It's go to the K4 Wins YouTube channel. Of course, you can go to TKR and listen to the show. If you heard some things and you're like, wait a minute, I want to go back, or I want to recheck their numbers, or they said this and I thought I heard this, go back and listen to the shows. They're all up. You can check out every single show we've ever done on our YouTube channel, of course, at K4Wins.com or wherever you get your podcast. We're also right here on the brand new Coastal Sports Digital Network, along with Tony Curry Radio and, of course, Angel and his entire crew do a fantastic job. Toronto, Detroit, Houston, Philly, Brewers, Dodgers are your leaders right now. The Red Sox, Mariners, Yankees, Cubs, Mets, and Padres are pulling it up. Really, the closest race right now is the Cincinnati Reds, who are three games out of the wild card in the American League. It's pretty much a done deal, but there's still 45, 50 games left. And I know you already said you wanted to put up a couple games, so you got some people listening right now. Give us some games to play today.
Hey, man, first look today, I like Detroit, Oakland, Philly, Texas, San Diego, and Boston. Boston's high juice. Take them on the run line. You drop from 225, 240 to about 110. You know, Tony, we talk about some of these things, and it's the useless Tony Curry facts that we bring in every week. But even looking and thinking about this as you go, best home record in baseball, Toronto at 38-19. Yeah. I mean, you know, worst home record, Colorado, 16-40.
And real quick too, because the other night I took Tampa Bay. I think I took Tampa, and it's amazing because when a team loses a game, they're obviously going to throw a stat out there and you're going to go. And then I take Tampa Bay. They lose the baseball game, and then I find out they have the worst record since the All-Star break. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't I know that? K4 Wins. We knew that. That's why.
Boston was going into the last two games, Boston was 17-6 since the 21st or the 11th. That was best record in baseball. Yeah,
the Marlins are smoking hot right now. I mean,
best road record is Milwaukee at 32-24 by far. Worst road record, Colorado. I mean, just bet against Colorado. They suck. I mean, good grief. Last night, Toronto's up 9-1, and Toronto's running the bases like they're down three runs in the seventh. End up, I think it was 14-1. But your run differential, Tampa Bay, 55-59, Tony, but they're still plus 42 runs.
Yeah.
Cleveland is 57-55, minus 27 runs. San Francisco is 56-57, plus 7 runs, which is crazy. But looking at it, and I can't wait, because the end of August, beginning of September, as you get close and you got those 10, 12, 15 games left, is when it really gets fun in Major League Baseball to see who's paying attention and look at the pitching matchups. And just kind of go from there. And I bet we post at least five games today, and it may not even be any of the games that I talked about. We've been doing very well in baseball. I would say as good or better than probably anybody in the country. And I can't wait till this fall for some of the handicappers that you and I talked about that we're going to try to get to go up against us and see what happens and give their subscribers, you know, a month of ours free, or get our subscribers a month of theirs free, just because, you know, we want to see and get out there and show other handicappers and get people that are in this business to do, because people got to be careful. These people that are texting you every day. And if you're a gambler and if you've done anything, you're getting those texts or you're getting those emails, those phone calls. Hey, you know, give us $49.99 for these plays. And then for, you know, this weekend or for today. And then the next day they go 2-1 the next day. Well, it's 150. Then you jump on board, you're on there for a month, and then all of a sudden, 2 days later, it's, well, for our really, really good picks, it's 500. And then a week later, for our great picks, it's 1,000.
Let me ask you this. Why in the world would you want to play with a service that says this? If we don't win, our next week is free. Dude, I mean, if you're telling me you're going to win – then you're going to win. And that's the thing is, and Case has said this, man, don't ever play for picks. You're not playing for picks with us. You're investing in plays. You're investing in plays. We're telling you expert advice. You can do whatever you want with the plays. It just so happens we hit about 70% of everything we're right on. But, I mean, when you sit there and say, listen, if I don't hit tonight, tomorrow's play is free. Why the hell would I want your shit when I've lost already? And usually if you're playing big-time bucks, you're usually already down a little bit. You're trying to make some back. So don't do that. Just make an investment of $2 or $3 a day. Get all your plays, and I promise you at the end of the month, you're going to be up, and you start telling your friends. Next thing you know, we're all making money.
You paid this guy who's telling you, hey, give me $500 or next week's free, and then guess what? You paid him $500. His picks suck. You paid your bookie $2,000, and the next week that's free, he goes 50-50, you lose again. Who cares? Yeah. Free picks that suck, suck.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have to wrap it up here. Don't forget, we do this show every Tuesday and Friday. We like to do Tuesday because we're kind of knee-jerking a little bit. Everyone comes out with all these crazy wacko crap things on Mondays, so everything's kind of like our investment value is a little bit better on Tuesday. We got a more chance to look at some of the weekend games. And then, of course, we'll get ready for college football because we have several weeks away of college football every single day of the week, including those Tuesday night games, which I absolutely love. I love the MAC for that. And then, of course, we're talking about Fridays, getting ready for college football. We have a couple of huge shows, 10 o'clock Central Time, the K4 Win Show right here on our YouTube channel. It's live and also, of course, on the Coastal Sports Digital Network. But then we also have a show on ABC 3340, which, of course, Kyle will be a part of. We pick ball games. You had an illustrious, amazing 9-0 run last year, which was fantastic. I think we went close to 70% on that show as well. Case gives out his plays, his Desert Heaters from Las Vegas. We do that. And, of course, that butts up against the SEC on ABC weekly game every single week. I think the first game is Tennessee-Syracuse. Is that right?
Yeah, at 11 o'clock. I'm trying to decide if we're going to go to that game. Knox wants to go pretty badly, but I don't really care about going to Atlanta.
Interesting matchup. Interesting matchup. Before we go, though, we got about 3 minutes left. National Football League, we talked briefly at the beginning of the thing. I know that you're all over this Raiders thing, and why not? We got Case Kiefer, who's not here today because he's actually at the Las Vegas Raiders practice. Does that mean we know more about the Vegas Raiders than anyone else? Yeah. Does it mean that we have inside information that's going to help you win games? No. But it does mean that we've got a guy that's got his fingers on the neck of Pete Carroll and the rest of the Raiders organization. So he's going to have a good feel for that, and he's done it really, really well on the Raiders as well. But anything in the National Football League, I always take underdogs. If you take every underdog this weekend, and I'm going to say it right now, play it with a friend. Take a dollar. And play a dollar on every underdog this weekend, and I'll bet that you hit 60%.
I think it'd be probably pretty close to that. I tell you what, there's a lot of interesting things going on in the NFL. Nothing more interesting. And I was leaning the other way on this, but Dallas's win total is 7.5. And with the whole Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons, fiasco, Dallas has got an incredibly difficult schedule the last half of the year. I think they might get to 8 wins, but I still have them missing the playoffs.
Is Dak Prescott going to stay healthy? Period. I mean, that's it.
That matters. I mean, but they added Pickens, throwing to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, they've got their group, and I think one of the things to bet all year long, of course, if they're healthy, is the Dallas team total over.
Yeah,
really like it. And if people have listened, we've given about 12 or 15 plays, including baseball today, and then. Plays for the year as far as totals, and a lot of people, if you're betting, you're careful and you don't necessarily want to play an over under for the year. At the same time, it's a great thing to do, and you can watch that and you can hedge late in the year.
K4wins.com. Check out our site, K4wins.com. It's easy to navigate. It's not all bells and whistles and stuff like that. We just go on there to give you the plays. K4wins at K4winners on X. And, of course, wherever you see us on our YouTube channel, K4wins.com. We do shows on Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the Coastal Sport Digital Network. And, as importantly, on Tony Curry Radio, which we by the way have 19 shows now, 18 or 19 shows. We got so many flipping shows, I can't even remember any shows I'm doing. We're doing shows all day. Make sure you get that TKR app and check it out. And you can listen to shows all day long. And, of course, we also do this little show called Live Wire Wednesday, which I know that you're a big fan of. Every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, we do a live AC/DC show, which is pretty good. We've been doing some replays because we got a ton of people that said, man, what about that show you did about 3 or 4 months ago? And you did a run out of all the great concerts they did and blah, 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 blah. And Now that Ozzy's dead, people don't know what to think about heavy metal. I saw where Pantera, who was supposed to be playing at the Coca-Cola Amphitheater, has canceled their tour because Ozzy died. I'm like, dude, really? You're giving up, which tells me that it probably didn't sell really well. Tells me they probably had about 500 tickets sold. They're probably like, hey, listen, let's just say that Ozzy died. We're going to take the rest of the summer.
But I was going to go to that show because Knox's walkout song is Walk by Pantera.
There you go. For Case Kiefer, Kip Kiefer, Kai Gregory, Tony Curry, and K4 Wins, the Coastal Sports Digital Network, and Tony Curry Radio, we thank you. We'll see you again Friday morning, 10 o'clock Central.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.